How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Don't adjust your screens or your streams. The What Up Doughboys have taken over Up Next once again. It's a hard job. Yeah, somebody got to do it. What's going on, B Detroit?
What up, though? What up, though? What up, though, John Cena? What's going on, brother? What's up, Poison Rana Nation out here? What's going on, baby? Back again for another Up Next. Is that like our second time doing the show together?
I think
like
this is our second takeover. Yeah, the first one was What Up Next, though. What up next though? And then I think today we're gonna go with the Squaddle Up Next in honor of a one
Squabble Up Next. I like that. Yeah.
In honor of one Kendrick Lamar. But we're not gonna talk about Kendrick Lamar. That's gonna be on this week's episode of What Up Though, which we will have up and ready later on this week for the Thanksgiving season for anybody celebrating here. But today we're here to talk about NXT episode November 26, 2024. They usually record at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night. My schedule cannot permit that, unfortunately. So here we are, 10 a.m. the next day, bright and early. The sun's shining through my window here. How's the weather over there in Detroit?
It's pretty good. A little brisk, a little cold. Put on a hoodie weather, the weather I like, because I can wear my What Up the hoodie like you see in the background right now.
We already got our first mustard in the chat. Every time I like meet up with Brayden for some reason, there's always like something new dropping. Like when we met up in Philly, like everything was going on with the whole J. Cole and Drake and Kendrick beef. So that was all like in our airwaves. And then as soon as I was making my trip over to Newark to meet up with the BDE, Davey and Brayden, out of nowhere, randomly, Kendrick Lamar just drops a project. And that mustard meme was everywhere. I saw McDonald's tweeting it out. I saw SpongeBob, all that stuff. But like I said, we're going to save all the Kendrick talk for What Up Though. Just a teaser. We're here to talk about wrestling. How's your NXT viewing been going? Do you usually watch live on a Tuesday? Because I know for me, it's difficult. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to really watch shows live, with the exception of like Dynamite and Collision, the shows that I regularly cover here for both Post Wrestling and Poison Rana. But how's your viewing schedule when it comes to NXT?
Well, I'm usually watching every show live when it comes to the weekly shows, because just my sleep schedule. So I'm usually winding down around those times anyway, so I might as well catch the shows and then head off to bed, you know? So I'm a weekly viewer of NXT and Monday Night Raw and Dynamite too. So everything wrapped into one at the same time is pretty good for me.
Yeah, it's funny because like I was talking to you off air about this, but like when I usually watch shows, I don't have like basic cable. I use other means, but basically I use a TV service provider where I watch my shows online through the website. So for TNT and TBS, I cover AEW, I watch it through there. For Raw and SmackDown, I could watch off of a USA Network. For some reason, the CW website doesn't let me do like live streaming. I feel like there might be a way through like Verizon's Live and whatnot, but I just couldn't figure it out. So I had to wait till after the fact. But the good thing is I found a version that was like straight off the WWE Network. So you had actually like commercials, but like you don't get the picture in picture like you do for AEW. You just get the straight up WWE Network commercials. But at least like with that, I was able to time out the matches accordingly, because I hate like watching a show and the commercials are cut off and I don't know how long the match actually is. Some matches we'll talk about tonight had like two commercial breaks. So it's very hard to judge when you have all the commercials cut out. So I like to watch like as best as possible the actual live 2-hour feed or 1-hour feed, whatever the case is. So you get the full feel of the match. So I'm lucky I was able to find that this morning.
I mean, unfortunately, you don't get the pleasure of seeing Ozempic commercials, so that's the That's a deal breaker for you, man. You don't get the pleasure of singing those Olympics tune like everybody else.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Come January, though, I'm not sure how it's going to work with everything streaming on Netflix, but you know, a birdie gave me a code for NordVPN once upon a time, so I'm going to see if I can be able to use that and possibly watch NXT and SmackDown on Netflix as well, as we only get Raw officially here in the States. But if they get everything else, I'm going to attempt as best as possible to see if I can watch all my wrestling on Netflix, because I like that that opportunity to actually like watch it on Netflix. Like when the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight happened, that was like, I was like one of the only people that had no streaming issues, so for me it worked perfectly fine. So if it works any way that worked for me, I think it's gonna be a home run. So hopefully it's gonna be fixed for everybody else. I know people had issues. Did you have issues watching that fight?
I had big issues with that fight. You know what, but fortunately my cable provider gives us Peacock for free.
Okay.
So, like, all this time where everybody's been complaining, kind of, like, getting Peacock when it comes to WWE Network, it's like, I just had to keep cable, and I was watching wrestling for free, man. And even, like, all the classic shows they put on there, everything was just getting uploaded. So once you get your algorithm going, and you just get random Monday Night Raws pop up, and that was pretty good. I hope Netflix goes by the same thing. Like, if I just watch a couple shows, and then, boom, I get random suggestions for Nitros, that'd be fun, too. But, yeah, that... Peacock's been cool for me, man. I never get any buffing issues, anything like that. So I've been fortunate enough for that.
It's funny. On the flip side of that, I actually get Max for free, HBO Max, because of my phone provider. So come January, I can watch, no problem, AEW, Dynamite and Collision, and what, Rampage, maybe? I don't know if that's going to come back. But I get to watch all that stuff for free on Max. But yeah, speaking of like Peacock and whatnot, the one thing I noticed, and this might affect Poison Ronda listeners, but as of right now, you can watch the archive of NXT on the WWE Network, but that's going to be going away soon, come January. So unless Netflix plans on uploading the entire NXT archive on their service, there is no way to watch past episodes of NXT, because Peacock removed them once they started streaming on CW, and CW doesn't put the old episode. They just have whatever they had aired from 2024 and on.
I didn't know that. That's a bummer.
Come January, unless somebody's going to go and rip all the NXT episodes, I'm not sure if it's going to have a home. I have real doubts that that Netflix is going to be able to upload like the entire archive that we had on Peacock and the WWE Network. I can't see like, you know, Smoky Mountain Wrestling and like old ECW shows being on Netflix just because of the quality, but you know, it might surprise me.
Back in the day, I was a young tape trader. I got an archive of recorded episodes of NXT. You might want to holler at your boy if you want to watch more NXT, you know what I'm saying? I can get back on the tape trader hustle.
So what you're saying is we're gonna start a What Up Though streaming service and just put old like VHS.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. What up streams?
What up streams?
We going global, baby.
I like that. But let's get right into this episode of NXT. This is the week before deadline. Deadline is gonna be next Saturday on the 7th, which I will be filling in for Davey Portman covering that show. And shout out to Davey and Braden. I know Braden's back home in Toronto. I know he misses New Jersey so bad. He was loving New Jersey. He had so much fun. I'm sure you guys have heard about it on their Behind the BD and some other shows that they recorded this weekend. But I'm sure you hear more from it when we speak next Saturday. And Davey, I think, either is already in the UK or just about to be there. I know he was on a flight, so hopefully everything is okay with him. And enjoy your little vacation there, Davey. And I'll see you when you come back, as we're going to be going to
enjoy your trip to the motherland, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's go into this show here. And it starts with a recap of last week's match between Andre Chase and Ridge Holland, where Chase lost a match and the entire Chase University. We then hear the Chase U music just for it to be Ridge Holland coming out. And Vic Joseph is disgusted while Booker T is like loving it. He's just like, yeah, he's like so happy that Chase U is down for some reason. How do you feel? Did your heartstrings pull a little bit when we saw the end of Chase?
I was hurt. You know, he can't come out. How is this going to change Andre Chase as a whole, man? He can't match his nice Jordans with those nice sweaters anymore. Like, is he going to take that major piece of Andre Chase from me that I endure so much? Like, I love it. I love the way he flips the J's with the Chase U sweater. So I can't picture him in a regular WWE T-shirt. I can't, you know.
I don't know. We'll get a little nugget later on. We may not be totally done with Chase U, but their future is definitely in doubt, and we'll see what happens with them. But we'll talk a little bit about more of that later on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But Ridge Holland gets on the mic and pretty much just says, "I told you so," and that he'll be seeing Trick Williams at Deadline. I know a lot of people are down with this match, especially like seeing Ridge get like that world title shot. I'm not too offended by it. I obviously don't think he's going to win the title, but for a small little program, for Trick Williams to kind of get some retains under his belt, I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's another dub for Trick, actually. You know what I'm saying? Just make him look that much better. And I ain't been really mad at the way Riz been performing. I like the more brutal style he's going with. So, yeah, it should be okay match. Why not?
And we start with a men's Iron Survivor qualifier match. We have Ethan Page versus Axiom, who has Nathan Frazer in his corner. And Axiom goes for a couple pins right away as Page then dodges the golden ratio kick by going to the outside and regrouping as we go to our first commercial. We come back, we see Axiom sending Page off the apron onto the announce table with a head scissors, and then back inside, Page stops Axiom's momentum with a big boot. This is the start of this ongoing storyline tonight about the tag team division, because we go to the back and we see a bunch of tag teams here. We have Out the Mud, we got Hank and Tank, No Quarter Cash Crew, the D'Angelo Family, Gatlis, Tyreek Igwe, and Tyson DuPont all watching on this match. Don't worry, we'll have more to come with tag teams later on in the show. Back to the match, Axiom stays on top with a Spanish fly and an armbar submission that Page powers out with a powerbomb. Page stays working on Axiom's back with backbreakers until Axiom stops Page on the top rope and hits the Spanish fly. Page almost lost his footing here for a second. I was a little worried that he might have slipped here, but luckily he was able to regroup. They go back to the top where Page hits another backbreaker, sending Axiom spilling to the outside as we go to our second commercial break. We come back just in time to see Axiom hit a springboard DDT to get a two count, and Page keeps working on Axiom's back here. He sets up for the top rope Eagle's Edge, but Axiom is able to counter it with a Hurricanrana. He goes for the golden ratio, but Page is a little too quick here, counters it with a big clothesline to get the pin at 16 minutes and 45 seconds. So Page will go on to the Iron Survivor Challenge at that line, along with Wesley, Nathan Frazer, Javon Evans, and whoever has that fifth spot. Before we talk about what happened after this match, what did you think of this match? It was pretty long. It went like I said, two commercial breaks here, almost 17 minutes here. But Axiom is a great talent, and I think he brought the best out of Ethan Page in this match.
I think one of my favorite Ethan Page matches so far. Yeah. And who else can you have done away with Axiom? Axiom is world class, man. Like he's so good. That springboard DDT that he gave to Ethan Page, though, planted him. That was so nasty, and that came off the break. So it like kind of pumped you up for like the third act of that match. And man, it just brought life right back into the match to me. Like it was kind of like slow going into that second break, but after that DDT, it was like, all right, now it's on. And I like that Ethan didn't finish the match with the Eagle's Edge.
Yeah.
He just laid in the big lariat and just pinned him. It's just something different. You know, he doesn't have to finish you with his finisher all the time. He can give you just a big move. And it's a smaller guy like Axiom. He sold it so good and it looked great. So that was probably the best Ethan Page move. I mean, match to me. That was really good.
I agree. Axiom is one of my favorite wrestlers right now to watch. And like, he is really good at adapting to like whoever he's wrestling style. He's fighting another luchador or somebody high flyer, he'll start doing that. If he's working with somebody a little bit more slower pace, like Ethan Page, you know, he'll start working on selling the back and whatnot, things like that. So yeah, I agree. I think Axiom is one of the top guys, whether in a tag team or whether he's solo, he can like pretty much do anything. So this kid, this kid here, definitely has a bright future in WWE. But after the match, Sarah Schreiber gets a word with Page, who says that if you bet against All Eagle, you're going to lose money every single time, as he always finds a way to win. Tonight, he found a way to win, and he's the last guy anybody wants to qualify for the Iron Survivor Challenge. Nathan Frazer, who was ringside here, interrupts him and says that the Iron Survivor Challenge is his kind of match, and Page won't be able to keep up with him. Page tells Frazier's mouth to slow down so he can catch up to his brain, because he just pinned his tag team partner and the one who carries the weight in their team. So Frazer kind of like trips over his words and says, Axiom doesn't carry the weight. Axiom isn't the driving force. And we kind of cut to Axiom, who has a stunned look on his masked face somehow. You can just see the stun on him. But obviously they keep this tension going between Fraxium. But before they can go to blows, Wesley comes out sporting a brand new haircut. And you literally hear like an audible gasp from the crowd. They even had like a "Who are you?" chant, because they didn't expect it and I didn't expect it. But yeah, it looks like Wesley just caught off the braids. He's done.
Yeah, he pulled a Drake on us. He turned heel, cut the braids off. What does this mean?
I don't know. I mean, what happened to Drake when Drake cut off his braids? Did he have a change of attitude or something? Like, what did that say for Drake that you lawsuits. Kind of lost? Trust me, we'll get into lawsuits on What Up though. We'll definitely get into plenty of
we'll get to that later.
But Lee says that who's going to come in second, because he's the one who got this on lock, and this is the point where the crowd starts chanting, "Who are you?" They didn't know who Wesley was here. And then Lee kind of drops a nugget here that might have been lost in all this conversation, but he pretty much said that the winner of the Deadline Iron Survivor match will get a title shot at New Year's Evil. I'm going to assume it's going to be the same thing for the women's, but just so we know, the winners of the match matches will get title shots at the special next month, which isn't a PLE. I'm pretty sure New Year's Eve is just going to be like a weekly special, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Javon Evans interrupts and asks Wesley how many times is he going to go into the penalty box, pretty much saying that Wesley is going to do all type of offenses during that match. And then the tag teams, again, interrupt here as Out the Mud comes out and says they don't give a damn about the Iron Survivor and say that they aren't cool that Fraxium is out here going after singles gold when they should be defending their tag titles here. The rest of the tag team division comes out. They all start brawling on the outside, and Fraxium says, fuck it. And they just they say, if you want a tag team title shot, you got it. And they both dive into all these guys on the outside as they all brawl their way to the back here. So good job here, kind of like intertwining both the Iron Survivor with the Fraxium going for that title, as well as having to defend the tag titles, because it's, you know, yeah, Out the Mud and the rest of these tag teams have a good point. It's like, you guys are too busy trying to go after this Iron Survivor and the singles title when you have these tag titles that you should be defending. So I kind of like how they were able to kind of mix both stories together.
Yeah, you know what? They've been doing this, like, tag team been brawling all over the arena for, like, what, 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah.
At this point, I want to see some wear and tear, you know? Like, these guys have been fighting for the entire show for 2 or 3 weeks. Nobody's bloodied up. Nobody's in bandages. I want to see some wear and tear at this point. We'll get to the later fight. That one is a little wild. That one gets a little.
No, crazy. That's actually a good point. If you want to, like you were talking earlier about how, like, Ethan Page was able to win a match with a clothesline, not comparing it to MMA, but I like how, like, the matches can kind of end out of nowhere. They can end suddenly. So why not make, like, a little bit more realistic with the brawls? Have, like, one of the tag teams, one of the partners gets injured during this brawl. He sprains his ankle or things like that. Yeah, that's, I kind of like a little bit of realism like that. Like, one of the tag teams, like, one of the tag teams won't be able to make it next week because they were injured during the brawl or whatnot. I kind of like that idea. A little bit more realism to wrestling here. Mm-hmm. We cut to footage from earlier in the day where Sol Ruka and Brinley Reese are talking about the Iron Survivor Challenge. Lola Vice interrupts here. Stephanie Vaquer is there as well, as Lola says that she told Jada Parker that this is not over till it's over. Vaquer is a little upset here. She speaks Spanish, but the little that I was able to understand here, she pretty much was upset that Lola Vice was there to help her win the match. And Lola just says that she had to make sure that Jada didn't win, basically. Ren Sinclair says it was crazy for Lola to go after Parker after being smashed in the face with a brick at the ECW arena a couple weeks ago. Lola says that all she needs is her fist, and Jada needs weapons to win. And tonight, she will show Ren Sinclair what Jada already knows, that these fists don't lie. And poor Ren is like, oh, what did I get myself into? That's like her gimmick now is like, she's always like in trouble and she's always like worried about her mouth getting her into trouble. So we've all been there where we say something we didn't mean to say and we're like, what the hell did I put myself into?
Yeah, you can't go knocking and not expect the dog to bark. Like, come on, you can't. But well, they have a pretty good match later on. We'll get into that.
Speaking about getting yourself into trouble, we go to Ashanti the Adonis and Nikita Lyons in the back, where Ashanti says that last week she caught him off guard when she said, you haven't texted me back or whatnot. But she says that she had to do that. She had to get his attention somehow. Ashanti says that he's trying to hop back on, but there's a little bit of trouble with that because he has a little bit of baggage with Carmen Petrovic, and says that he sees something in her. He kind of likes her. Nikita starts flirting with him a little bit, tries to go to touch his hand here, and says that, well, he did text her. And then he kind of like sneaks in. He's like, of course I did. Who didn't I text? Pretty much saying that he texts the entire NXT women's
locker.
He
stuck that in there. Like, it was right at the end, too. Like, I didn't think anybody caught it.
He definitely stuck it in. But I kind of like that about Ashanti. He has like little like subtle lines he kind of throws in there. It's like, wait, what did he say? And I had to like literally rewind it. Yeah. It's like, oh, he said he texted every single woman, which is kind of funny here. Carmen walks in and she's pissed off that they're talking to each other. As Nikita says that when it comes to picking a little girl like Carmen or a grown woman like Nikita, the answer is obvious. And it's never going to be Carmen. And tells Ashanti where to find her. Carmen tells Ashanti that she's done with him and walks off as we cut to Booker T just like laughing his ass off on commentary. So yeah, Ashanti, he's how do you say, burning the candle on both ends. He's trying to do too much here, and it looks like he might have blown away Carmen, at least for the time being, but Nikita's still down.
It's kind of like I'm watching the movie How to Be a Player. You know, it's kind of it's kind of like the ending, you know, how it's all culminating, but yeah, I don't see where we're going with this, but I love it. I love it.
I know people like think this is kind of goofy, but it's like, I'm okay with it. If you just keep it to like one segment per show, and you got to like, you know, at least it gives them a little bit of personality, right? Like Carmen Petrovic, like, yeah, we know she, you know, she carries a sword and she knows karate and whatnot, but okay, give her a little love storyline. Why not? Kind of helps her kind of expand her horizons when it comes to acting. I'm okay with it. As long as it doesn't lead to like a wedding in the ring or something, but who knows? Yeah. We're probably going to end up getting that. It's been a while since we got a NXT wedding, I feel like.
Yeah, as cheesy as it is, it's unique too. So, because there's nothing else going on like this in wrestling right now, that I know of. So,
that's true. Yeah. We go to the next match that was set up earlier in the day, Lola Vice versus Ren Sinclair, and right away, Lola takes Ren to the mat with some tosses and throws before trying to put on an arm breaker. Lola hits the Three Amigos when Ren comes back by working on Lola's arm and puts on an arm breaker herself. The crowd starts chanting Ren XT, which I think is pretty catchy. I like that, Ren XT. They were really behind Ren here with a lot of the chants here. So pretty Ren, dope. With her goofy attitude, I guess, has definitely won over the crowd here, as well as Davey Portman. I know Davey Portman was not a fan of Ren Sinclair, and I was like, listen, give her a chance. I saw her a little bit in NWA, and she had a tag team with Missa Kate, and she was like really like funny, and I'm like, she has a good character, and she can actually wrestle pretty well. So I knew it was the only matter of time until she won everybody over, so I'm glad to see that here. They take it to the outside where Charlie Dempsey tells Ren here to stomp Lola's hand on the steel steps, but she stops and hesitates as Lola sends her down here, but Lola gets sent into the steel steps. They go back into the ring where Lola kind of lands the spinning back fist out of nowhere to get the win at 4 minutes and 23 seconds. And then she looks in the camera and says it's not over with Jada Parker, and they will be taking it to NXT Underground soon. They didn't say when this match is. I don't expect it to be on Deadline. I think it's going to be maybe on New Year's Evil or maybe on one of these special NXT episodes. But yeah, we're going to get Jada versus Lola in NXT Underground. And as far as the match goes, it's like the shortest match of the show. It went like a little over 4 minutes. Wasn't really bad. Like I said, nothing offensive. But it was okay. It kind of just kind of keeps Lola strong in everybody's eyes.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? Ren Sinclair, you said you've seen her on NWA.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense because she's got such a good like babyface offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's got a really good babyface like thing about her. Like she's gonna be really good when they turn her and get away from Charlie Dempsey. Like she's gonna be really good. And Ren XT is that's gonna be the champ. That's gonna be it. When she's holding the championship in the air, that's gonna be the champ.
I know her tag partner in NXT was, I'm sorry, in NWA was Missa Kate, and she recently left NWA. She's been kind of like working some shows here or there. I think both Ring of Honor, TNA, AEW a little bit. I kind of want to see her in NXT because her and Ren Sinclair had a real good chemistry with each other. Maddie was like, her name was Maddie Rinkowski in NWA, but Ren Sinclair was like this like clumsy little like character, while Missa Kate had a little bit more like spunk and attitude, and they kind of had a really good back and forth with each other. So who knows if she ever breaks off from the No Quarter Catch crew, maybe we'll see her old tag team partner kind of come back in and help her out here. We see Tatum Paxley playing with her dolls in the back before JC Jane and Jasmine Nix, a Fatal Influence, interrupt her and tell her that playtime is over and Tatum will never be champion. Tatum says the past will haunt them as we see a mysterious hand pick up one of the dolls. And I'll be honest, I recognize who this was right away because she has a tattoo right on her wrist here. And I'm like, I kind of know who that is. I feel like that tattoo for some reason stuck in my head. So I kind of like spoiled myself, I guess, by analyzing tattoos. I don't know, but we'll find out later on in the show exactly who it is. We go to our first of two title matches tonight, starting with the North American Championship, Tony D'Angelo versus Sean Spears. Tony D only has Adriana Rizzo in his corner as Stax and Luca are too busy brawling with all the tag teams in the back, as Spears has Brooks Jensen. They start the match fast by brawling, but right away, Tony starts showing an injury on his left knee, which is the story of the match here. So, of course, Spears starts working on it as we go to commercial. We come back. Spears has Tony's leg around the ring post, but he fights him off and hits a superplex. We cut to the parking lot. The tag teams, of course, they're brawling there. Back to the match. Tony D's knee gives out as Spears puts on the figure four, but after fighting it a little bit, Tony eventually crawls over to the bottom rope to grab it and break it off. Tony kicks off Sean Spears, and Spears, Tony D. My autocorrect is like, why are you repeating words here? It's like, no, Sean Spears. That's something that happens in wrestling. They go back and forth a bit until Tony is finally able to land the spinebuster, kind of out of nowhere here, to get the pin at 8 minutes and 34 seconds to retain the title. So he was trying to spinebuster throughout the match, but his knee kept giving out. But he was finally able to fight through it and hit it and retain his title. What'd you think of this match?
Not bad. I didn't really like the sell of the knee, the beginning of it, because it's like he kind of got there early, then like Sean Spears points at the knee like that, and it's like a little bit on the nose, guys, a little bit, but not bad of a match, a little bit more holds than I like to see nowadays, but you know, it is what it is. When you're working the leg, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, obviously Sean Spears is a veteran there, so he knows how to work a match. Yeah, Tony D, like he was okay selling the knee, but I feel like he kind of like use that too much as a crutch in the match instead of actually like wrestling. He kind of just kept selling the knee. So he didn't really do much in his match until the very end, I feel like. So I kind of agree with you. He could have probably did a little bit more, but who knows? We might end up getting a rematch down the line. But before that, Brooks Jensen.
I'm sorry, but his spine busters are looking pretty good right about now, too.
Oh, you didn't know that everybody in the mob, they know how to do a spine buster? That's one of the first things they teach you.
I'm pretty sure that's the only like self-defense you guys learn.
Yeah, when you have to collect money from the docks, the first thing they tell you to do is, you know, try to break their fingers, and if that doesn't work, you just pick them up and you hit them with a spine buster. Big and that's usually the way to get the money from the people there. Brooks Jensen joined Spears after the match, and they start attacking Tony until Spears' new muscle, Nico Vance, who debuted a couple weeks ago, joins in as we have a 3-on-1 attack as Rizzo is standing there, nothing she could really do here, kind of watching on in fear. And unfortunately, Stax and Luca are too tied up with the tag teams to kind of join in. But it feels like we're probably going to inevitably get this match, the 6-man match between the D'Angelo family and the Spears family. I don't know. Are they supposed to be like some sort of mob themselves? I really don't know.
Yeah, the learning chair.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, what did you think of the – I know you probably haven't seen too much of Nico Vance, but he did a little bit in NXT Level Up. He actually was part of a tag team with another NIL guy named Harlem Lewis. They're both former college football players, if I'm not mistaken. But he hasn't had too many matches. So to kind of give him this NXT spotlight, they must be seeing something good in him because he hasn't really had too many matches as far as I know. But to kind of keep him in this muscle role for now where he probably doesn't have too many matches, he kind of just has to stand there and kind of watch Spears and Brooks here, I think is a good role for him. But it looks like we're getting this inevitable 6-man match between the two families.
Yeah, I hope he I'm going to take your word for it. I have no idea who the guy is. But he got kind of a negative pop, but that's what can you expect for somebody who's kind of really unknown? But, you know, I hope he does pretty good, though. He looks pretty good. He got a good look on him.
I think he has to change his look just a little bit because when he came out, he looked like a junior member of Authors of Pain. He kind of had that like same style with the black tank top and the hair and everything, kinda. The tattoos. It's like, okay, maybe switch your style up just a little bit. But
same
okay.
outfit Camille came to help Mona in. Same.
Yes, the same exact outfit as Camille. Yeah. But yeah, this is NXT Developmental, right? So develop your wardrobe, I guess, is probably one of the things everybody needs to work on.
Yep.
We go back to the parking lot. What do you know? The tag teams are brawling here. The poor security guards get involved, and of course, they're the ones that are getting all the brunt of the beating here. As we see somebody get hip tossed onto top of a car here, someone else you just see kind of head first into the window as the glass shattered everywhere. Total chaos here. One of the security guards gets tossed into a windshield, and we see Robert Stone and Stevie Turner there trying to stop it all, but of course they can't stop it. So the tag teams continue here.
People are getting wrecked. That's what I'm saying. Somebody needs to come to the arena next week on crutches. What is going on back there?
No, I think you're totally onto something. They should definitely do that. Like, it's what's the loss if like one of the tag teams can't make it? Like, it's fine. Like, I don't think anybody would even notice if one of the tag teams is.
Or it'd be better if someone has to go in there alone, no partner. You know,
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, "Just one more day until Friday." But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we are bringing you two editions of Rewind Away, starting off with a film review of Death Warrior. As described, the 2009 classic features five of the best mixed martial arts champions from around the world forced to play a deadly game. Plus, we tackle TNA's Turning Point from 2009. Karen Peterson and Bruce Lord will be covering the historic Crossover 2 event, plus an Ask Away mailbag show, Rewind to SmackDown, and Collision Course. $6 a month gets you access to the Post Wrestling Cafe.
We see footage of Andre Chase talking, basically just packing his stuff here as we hear like sound bites of past Chase U memories here. And he's reminiscing here. He picks up a newspaper. He sees the time when he owed money and whatnot and all his shenanigans that he did, all the scandals at Chase University. And he's packing up, looks like he's ready to go. He doesn't even have the sweater on anymore. He's just wearing like basic clothes here. He goes to leave. He looks at the sign one more time. This is Andre Chase. And as he leaves, we hear a voice that says, "Hey, Mr. Chase." I didn't recognize his voice. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who this was.
I don't know.
But where do you think this is leading to? Is this like Chase U, the new class? Are we going to get like a spinoff? Like what's happening here?
She's a new class. The college years. Junior college years or something, JUCO, Chase U.
Somehow Screech kept rest in peace to Dustin Diamond, but poor guy, like he kept showing up in all the shows, right? New class, the college years. There was always a role for Screech Powers, I feel like.
I don't know who they could like bring back from the past to
The only guy they had was Bodie Hayward. He was one of the original members, but I don't think, is anybody even going to remember him? No offense to Bodie. We liked you for the time being, but is anybody going to recognize you when you come back? Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know where we're going with this. I didn't recognize the voice either, so they got us going. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat for this one.
So I have a theory. So what if it's, okay, I don't think it sounded like him, but the only person I can kind of pinpoint that has any history when it comes to like academics in wrestling is somebody who didn't show up at the 2300 arena. Maybe he didn't want to show up under that character. But what if a certain Dean Douglas returns? He might not want to return as Shane Douglas at ECW arena. But what if we get the return of Dean Douglas, the original teacher in WWE, to kind of maybe help Andre get back on his feet? What do you think about Dean Douglas? It's never going to happen. But what do you think about
him? Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not sure, because how would he? He would have to be trying to get the university back, right?
Yeah.
He needs a lawyer.
Ooh, okay. Well, you had Luca Crucifino. He was the lawyer before he joined the D'Angelo family, but he kind of like dropped that gimmick. So, yeah, this is tough. Like, the lawyer. They can go one of two ways. It could be somebody of the past that we just can't think of right now that's going to help him somehow get back to Chase U, or it could just be somebody new, like some of the new students or some of the new NIL people that are gonna, you know, hey, don't leave. We need you. We need to learn from you. And maybe that'd you have nice. Some sort of I can see that happening. But as far as the voice goes, unless somebody in the chat can recognize who it was, it didn't sound like a recognizable voice to me, at least.
Yeah, it could just be like a student reaching out. That I'll take that arc too.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. We move on to our second Iron Survivor Challenge qualifier match. This is the women here as Kalani Jordan takes on Julia. They start the match evenly here, going for pins and submissions, but Julia sends Kalani into the corner with a head scissors here. Julia counters the one-of-a-kind attempt by snapping Kalani's arm on the ropes. They trade slaps. They go face-to-face as we head to commercial. We come back. We see Kalani hitting a twist and dive to Julia on the outside, and then back inside, they start trading punches on the top rope before Julia headbutts her off, but misses a missile dropkick. Kalani does hit the one-of-a-kind split-legged moonsault, but Julia catches her right into, like, a modified Gogo Plata, it seems. We had a lot of this in this show. We had a lot of, like, head scissors and, like, a lot of submissions, a lot of, like, MMA-style moves here, but we got another one here with Julia putting on this Gogo Plata. Kalani is, like, in and out of fighting this. She's, like, passing out. Then she wakes up. She's, like, trying to break out of it. She's trying to go for the pin and whatnot until she eventually power bombs her way out and gets a two count. This is, like, the same spot we saw in the Axiom Ethan Page match. We power out of the arm trap submission and going for the pin. We see Roxanne Perez, fresh off of her vacation. She's in the back watching on to see who will be her potential new challenger. We go back to the match. We have some back and forth blows from Julia and Kalani here before Julia hits a knee strike and a Northern Lights bomb to get the pin at 12 minutes and 30 seconds. So Julia will now join the team of Zarya, Sol Ruka, Stephanie Vaquer, and whoever is the last entrant for their match at Deadline. I really like this match. This is a real wrestling heavy episode. This might be my favorite actual like bell to bell match on the show. I feel like Kalani just keeps getting better and better, and Julia is obviously a veteran here in the ring. And she just brought the best out of Kalani, and Kalani definitely hung in there with her. She was able to go back and forth with her. I'm not sure if it's a case of Julia maybe like kind of like slowing her style down a little bit just so Kalani can keep up, or Kalani herself stepping up and keeping on pace with Julia. But either way, they had a hell of a match these two.
Yeah, I'm glad they gave them time to like really stretch this match out and like make it something, because I couldn't imagine them cutting this short to like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. That would have been just criminal. But like just after that, the first commercial break, it was like, okay, yeah, now we're here. And then every move started to ramp up. And man, Kalani is just with like her athleticism is like alone, she's gonna go so far. And like her already having an endorsement from like Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill, like if that becomes a trio in the future, man, it's going to be great.
Yeah, like I said earlier, like people kind of down on the main event of Trick and Ridge. It might not be like the best like wrestling heavy match, but if you just look at who's like in the Iron Survivor matches so far, men's, you have Wesley, Javon Evans, Nathan Frazier, three crazy fast-moving guys, and Ethan Page, they kind of be the base there. And then similar for the women's, you have Sol Ruka, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and Zarya. That's some of the best women talent on the roster here. So I feel like those two matches are going to be crazy matches, and we still need to find out who the final entrants are in both of them. But so far, like those matches look like they're going to obviously steal the show. I'm really looking forward to potentially just those matches opposed to anything else on the Deadline show. But the names I just named down, like those are some crazy talent that you have in those matches.
Yeah, the Trick and Ridge match isn't like, it's the least of my problems of that show. The most problems we're going to have is like placement of those matches. That's the only problem we're going to have. Trick and Rich will be okay though.
But we need to find out who the final entrants are in both of those matches. And how we're going to find out? We're going to find out next week, because Ava's in the back with all the losers. All the people that lost their qualifying match, all the losers. And says that it's going to be Axiom, Cedric Alexander, Lexus King, and Eddie Thorpe in the final chance four-way next week. And for the women, it's going to be Cora Jade, Jada Parker, Ren Sinclair, and Kalani Jordan, who just lost her match in the woman's last chance. So they're okay with this, except for Thorpe. Eddie Thorpe starts complaining because he says that he was the only one who had an interference in his match, and now he has to fight three other guys. All he does is complain here. Lexus King, on the other hand, is very grateful. He's like shaking Ava's hand. He's like, thank you for your opportunity. I'm so happy that, you know, Lexus King is his full babyface now. What do you think of this Lexus King babyface? Do you think he's serious, or he's just doing this to fool us all?
Either way it go, I like it.
Yeah, right.
his wrestling's got better because of it. I like it.
Yeah. Ava tells Fraxium, though, hey, hold on. We got to talk about this whole tag team chaos that's going on. So he says that next week there will be a tag team battle royal with all the people we saw brawling tonight. And the winners of that match will face Fraxium at Deadline. Axiom gets upset here and says they have to compete in the Iron Survivor and Defender titles in the same night, as Frazier reminds him that, hey, listen, buddy, only I qualify so far. You need to still qualify next week. So Axiom, of course, is a little pissed off at this. And at this point, all the other tag teams in the Battle Royal, they interrupt here. They start yelling at each other. Ava's like, I don't want nothing to do with this. So she starts to walk away. And as she walks away, Eddie Thorpe kind of tries to get her attention. She doesn't want to hear it. He goes to grab her arm. And she's like, don't you touch me. Don't you put your hands on me. And as she's arguing with Thorpe here, during all this scuffling in the back, the door of the medical training room slams against Ava and knocks her down as we go into commercial. It's like, you know, when you watch the TV show and it's like something serious happens and the music plays and you got to, you know, the cliffhangers. That's pretty much what we got here. So is Ava alive? We're going to find out a little bit later on. Before that, we see a little bit of footage of the behind-the-scenes video. I'm not sure if you're able to catch this on the YouTube channel with CM Punk's return last year's Survivor Series. They had a behind-the-scenes video on their YouTube channel. Did you check this out at all?
I seen, like, a clip of it on, like, social media, I think, when he ran into Orton in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen that.
It was pretty interesting. So you have, like, CM Punk there. Obviously, nobody knew who he was there. And you kind of could see, like, the people that were happy to see him and the people that were a little bit like, I don't know how to react with you. Like, you can kind of see the animosity a little bit towards William Regal and CM Punk. They kind of had, like, a little friendly smile, but you could tell they're probably not on the best terms. They might be now, who knows. But there was a little bit of behind-the-scenes things that happened in AEW between them. So they might not have started off on the best foot here in WWE.
Gotcha.
But my favorite part was... So CM Punk is trying to get like the instructions from Triple H. He's like, so you want me to go to the cage in the, he thought he had to be like in the, by the ringside cage, mm-hmm. but Triple H was like, no, you got to be by the shark cages and the top of the ramp. And like CM Punk was convinced that he had to go to the ringside. And it's a good thing he asked like right before he went out, like, okay, so we're doing this by the ringside. And Triple H was like, no, like it's by the shark cage. Like he literally like on the spot, like right before CM Punk had to go out, had to like reroute what was going on tonight. So it was pretty well, I like anytime you do behind the scenes footage like that.
Yeah, because if you had walked to that ring, it would have been awkward as shit. It would have been
It would have been really awkward.
It would have ruined that moment.
We didn't see Drew McIntyre or Seth Rollins kind of congratulate him when they returned back into Gorilla. So those are the two, you know, names that we heard that weren't too happy that night. So we didn't have any footage of them and how they reacted, unfortunately. But back to Ava, we come back and see that Medical and Shawn Michaels are checking on Ava as Thorpe tries to apologize. He tries to explain what happened here. And we see a pissed off HBK Shawn Michaels here. He gets up. He gets in Thorpe's face. He starts shoving him, keeps shoving him. Backs him up all against the steel gate here and tells him to not put his hands on her and tells him to get out of here. What do you think this is leading to? Are we going to get Shawn Michaels versus Eddie Thorpe? But I haven't seen this energy, this type of anger from Shawn Michaels in God knows how long, but I'm happy to see it, and I'm happy for him to stand up for Ava, but yeah. Where is this leading to?
I kind of want Shawn to like just kick somebody one time. Just for getting out of line. Like just the foot coming from off screen, just wham, you know. But no, I mean Eddie Thorpe can't go around hitting people that belongs to the bloodline, man. You can open up a whole can of worms. You call her big cousins and have this whole place moving furniture around in NXT. We can't have that. So and HBK got to make sure order is intact because he can't have her cousins coming down here murdering people.
I'm still waiting.
That's my theory. I'm going with.
You're talking about like having Shawn Michaels just kind of start super kicking people. I'm waiting for him to like bump into Shawn Spears and be like, "Isn't your name Stan?" and kind of have that callback of a
Stan, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't think they might have done like a backstage segment or something. I don't think they've ever referenced that before. But I think somebody
referenced to Spears once on NXT. I think someone did, like someone he was joking with.
Before this year is over, I need to see Sean called Sean Stan, and I need to see Bobby Lashley call Max Caster his sister. Just those two things. That's all I want to hear. Long-term booking, right? Long-term storytelling. I need to see all this stuff play out. This is stuff that
you can't do that. Caster's going to join the Hurt Syndicate, but we'll talk about, you know.
you were speaking of the Bloodline, and Trick Williams, the NXT champion, comes out, and he brings up the Bloodline here because he says that he hopes that Ava is okay, and we know who her Bloodline is. So, is Jacob Fatu going to come in and just murder Eddie Thorpe? There's a lot of Bloodline out there that can definitely
don't back send Tongaloa. Just don't send Tongaloa. Don't.
He might show up at the wrong arena or something. I don't know.
He shows up at Speed.
it's funny you bring up the Bloodline because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a couple weeks ago, like, didn't we have like Jacob Fatu and like Tonga and Tama like show up and they didn't really lead anywhere, right? They just kind of came out and like beat people up. As far as I know, there was never like a match or angle that came out of that. So I'm surprised what happened with that. But I feel like, yeah, we could definitely see some sort of a Bloodline here in NXT. Even if people that aren't currently in WWE, like we know, like Hikaleo is supposed to be making his way over there. Lance Anoa'i is somebody who recently signed. So yeah, we could have some fresh Bloodline here to kind of help out. Tonga Twins, yeah. Shout out to the Tonga Twins for sure. But yeah, actually, you know, instead of bringing somebody down like a Jacob Fatu, maybe like a Lance Anoa'i kind of shows up and, hey, like, listen, this is my cousin right here. Like, stop messing with her. Yeah. I have another theory of what could be happening with Eddie Thorpe, but I'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. Back to Trick here. He says that it's been chaotic here in NXT, and we might have seen the end of Chase U. It was sad. He saw kids crying. He saw a shock on a lot of people's faces. And then he looked up and he saw the evil grin on Rich's face. And then he knew that they weren't the same. Trick compares himself to guys who love NXT, guys in the past like DIY, Bron Breakker, Tiffany Stratton, Ilya Dragunov. And then he hesitates a little bit before he says, even people like Carmelo Hayes. So I feel like we're going to get that eventual, them making good with each other, probably on the main roster. But I feel like we need to see that because they were great together. They had a good feud against each other. But I feel like when you had them together, Trick and Carmelo, they were inseparable. I feel like him throwing little nuggets here and there about Carmelo and kind of like maybe missing him or kind of regretting what happened. I feel like that's going to go a long way.
Even them going up and like just jumping into the tag division because the tag division always needs new guys. Trick is an even better wrestler now than he was before. So they'll look good on SmackDown together.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, when they do bring Trick up, he's going to have this established NXT title run, and people are going to know who he is. You know, they already they showed him in the Netflix package. I don't know if you noticed, but, like, they had a promotion. He was the only NXT person, as far as I saw, that was featured in that. So I feel like they have big plans for him. They're probably going to have a draft or whatnot. Speaking of draft, something that just popped in my head earlier this week, but, like, I think that what they should do with the draft is this year, or next year, whenever they do it, is with this WWE ID program, they could do something different where they actually have like people that have been ID'd from the indies actually get drafted to like NXT. That'd be kind of different, right? Like names that we aren't really too familiar with. Somebody like, you know, like Kylie Rae, she gets drafted to NXT all of a sudden. So it kind of feels like a more authentic draft where it's like not people from your own roster kind of going back and forth, but people from the minor leagues, I guess you can say, the independents that get drafted up to like an NXT or maybe even like a Raw or SmackDown. But yeah, to kind of switch it up this year, I feel like we should do that. We should have all like the ID people kind of there. Like nobody really knows who they are and they get drafted to NXT. I think that would be something different that they can do this year.
Set up a camera at Reality Wrestling and have everybody there like they do at NXT. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah. What can you tell me about Freedom Ramsey? He was the first person from Detroit to be ID'd. I'll be honest, I haven't heard of him.
Freedom Ramsey. Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, Detroit.
There we go.
I'm willing to. I'm here for the ride.
You got to back up your hometown guy.
Here for the ride. Let's go, Freedom.
Maiden Freedom Ramsey is a guy that reached out to Chase you. Who knows? We'll find out soon enough. Back to Trick here in the ring. He says they built something special here in NXT while Ridge Holland is just there to destroy things. He won't let Ridge become NXT champion because if he does, everything they worked so hard to create, this black and silver brand, will die. Ridge Holland makes his way out as the referees try to hold him back, and Ridge says that he doesn't care that everywhere he goes, controversy follows him. Speaking of controversy, controversy creates cash as we then cut to who on the Tron? Eric Bischoff. Yes, Eric Bischoff live via satellite from his home in Cody, Wyoming. Bischoff says that he's been enjoying all this chaos. Of course, he knows everything about chaos running WCW, and says that next week he wants a closer look, and he's coming to NXT to find out who, how bad Trick wants to keep the title and how bad Ridge wants to earn it. He's going to see both of them go tick. He's going to see both of their ticks, and by the time they are done, they're going to want to destroy each other. So yeah, Eric Bischoff, I did not expect this at all. As far as I know, it might be his first appearance at NXT. I know he's done stuff, obviously, with Raw and SmackDown. But yeah, Eric Bischoff, how do you feel about, you know, Mr. WCW returning here to WWE and NXT at all places?
Man, why not keep reaching in the well for those legends? I feel like it's just going to be like a sit-down segment in the back or something. I hope we don't have to watch it in-ring. I hope it's recorded in the back, you know, like sit down JR style.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this in the ring, but I don't mind him sitting down and talking to Eric Bischoff. It'd be cool.
Yeah, they didn't really like state exactly what it's going to be. Maybe some sort of like mediation between both of the guys before their match or whatnot. I know he did something similar in AEW back when they had like the no crowd arena. He was there to do some sort of, I forgot who it was for, but he was definitely in AEW doing something similar to that. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty busy week for Eric Bischoff because he's going to be appearing on NXT on Tuesday. And then on Thursday next week, he's actually hosting an MLW show. It's like Eric Bischoff presents, like he's going to actually be producing the entire show right here in Queens, New York. So Eric Bischoff keeping himself busy from both NXT and MLW. But something that kind of popped in my head, I was actually discussing this with Braden Harrington over the weekend. We went to go see GCW live at the American Dream Mall, the second biggest mall in the world. And of course, being a wrestling fan, my first thought was, oh, this is just like that episode of Nitro, the first episode of Nitro where they're in the Mall of America. It's wrestling in a mall. It's amazing. So I'm thinking to myself, this is connected to the MetLife Stadium, right? They're coming back here for SummerSlam, right, in New Jersey. Who's going to do the show at American Dream? Is it going to be GCW again, or is it going to be NXT? NXT just did an ECW tribute show. We love ECW, right? We can't, you know, we always love ECW. ECW always gets these reunion shows and whatnot. When are we going to get a WCW tribute show, a WCW reunion show? We have yet to gotten that. We've gotten plenty of ECW shows. We even got like TNA shows that Impact used to do back to kind of like bring, you know, that back that atmosphere. But yeah, I know people might be down to WCW, but people love WCW as well. And what better place to do a tribute show than in a mall? So what I present to you that weekend is NXT Nitro live from the American Dream Mall. And that'll be your show for SummerSlam weekend.
I'm not mad at that. Even if you wanted to take another WCW branded show and call it that, I'm not mad at that either. I've been waiting for a wrestling company to start taking advantage of these venues that have booked them, like the mall and these theaters and stuff like that, like start having interesting sets. I thought AEW would do it. Hopefully they'll start doing it now that they're going to like scale down their venues. Go places, do it outside. You're in Florida a lot. Do it outside. You know what I'm saying? This is like, let's get creative with these sets and it'll be, make it more interesting and it'll give you more memories. Cause what do you remember about those WCW shows? A lot of them were outside. A lot of them were special locations. The WCW episode when they're outside of Disneyland. Like, it's just things like that. Like, you're never going to forget. So, no, I love that. Yeah, I love that idea.
I agree. They brought back Bash at the Beach. Do it on the beach, just like you did back in the day. I know AEW definitely, in the beginning, they had, like, what, the show at the Jericho Cruise. Like, things like that. Yeah, I'm totally a fan of that. They do have a show coming up in the Collision at a Comic-Con, a Galaxy-Con coming up. So we're going to get at least that type of vibe. But, yeah, I'm on the same page as you. I like different environments, different stages. You can put a wrestling ring anywhere. So why not just have matches while you can?
The Galaxy-Con show is going to be cool, too. You're going to look in the crowd. You're going to see characters. It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And but speaking kind of going back on the GCW show, yeah, that was a blast. Just like, we didn't even pay for it. We're just like in the mall,
so dope,
like walking around and like you see people going up the escalator and they're like, why is Michael Jackson wrestling a woman? Like, what's going on here? Like, people must have been so confused. That was my favorite part of the show, just seeing like people coming up for the escalator from parking and like turning around and slowly saying, what the heck is going on? Cause like nobody expected it. So that's always a cool thing. And you could kind of like, get new fans that way. I saw a family there. The dad was so into it. The kids had like what the hell's going on? And the dad is like trying to convince him what's going on. Like, oh, that's a bad guy. That's a good guy. To kind of see like people that you usually don't see at wrestling events, like witness it for the first time, like, and just kind of see the reactions. That was my favorite part of the show. My second part of the show was Ricky Stark coming down the escalator in his Louis Vuitton bag.
Louis bag. Oh, wow. I heard it, Ricky. That was dope. That was dope. And walking to the ring with the bag toed, man, come on, man. You don't get no doper than that. That's the flash stuff right there.
Unfortunately, Ricky Starks has to make his way and go right back up the escalator. Because he has been pulled from all GCW appearances. So
why so, though? What's going on?
It was a whole thing. Basically, from what I read was Effie said something that offended Tony Khan, and he made the decision to pull Ricky Starks. And as far as I know, all of AEW talent from any future GCW shows. It's getting ugly with this whole Hammerstein dilemma, basically. Basically, it came off of, like, GCW announcing their show first to Hammerstein, and then AEW announcing three shows, and a little bit of back and forth between the talents. And unfortunately, you know...
Yeah.
Things got said that...
Things got said.
Yeah. I'll give it to Tony Khan, though. You know, people have been wanting him to kind of put his foot down, and the last couple of months, he has, so... I can't be too upset about him. It just sucks for the people. It sucks for Ricky Starks, first of all, because the dude just wants to wrestle, and now he can't wrestle there. And it sucks for the fans that were excited. You know, he was supposed to be at the Hammerstein show. He was actually announced for that, or was going to be announced for that. He had a match set up with Matt Cardona in Cali next month, and that's not going to happen. So I feel bad for the fans, and I feel bad for Ricky Starks. But hopefully, you know, let's just get along and
It's not time to free Ricky. It's not time for the free Ricky campaign?
I don't know.
Free Ricky?
No. Yeah. Free Ricky.
Free
Lucha Brothers. Yeah. It's tough. I hate to see it. Like, I understand the business part of it, but I just want to see guys wrestle, you know? But knowing Tony Khan, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky Starks shows up tonight on Dynamite, because he's the talk of the town right now, right? So who knows?
You know, when we record on Wednesdays early, what happens?
Yeah. Things always happen. We go to the back, where the parking lot here, where Charlie Dempsey and Ren Sinclair are leaving, and they bump into Miles Bourne and Tavion Heights, fresh from their tag team brawl here. They're all banged up, and said that next week they're going to win this Battle Royal, and they will win the titles at Deadline. Dempsey then breaks the news to Ren that next week she's in that Last Chance Fatal 4-Way, and Ren is worried. She's naming down on her opponent. She's like, oh my God, how am I going to win this match? She's like going crazy. Her character here is just like, she's just a lovable loof here and doesn't know what to do in the situation that she's put in. So not only is Eric Bischoff coming next week, but we see a tweet from Sean Waltman, X-Pac himself, who says that next week's show looks too good to miss, so he's coming to watch it live. Vic Joseph says, this is like an NWO reunion. We got Bischoff, we got X-Pac here, and he says, hey, Booker, did you used to be in the NWO? And Booker's like, I don't want to talk about it. Listen, I was in the NWO for 1 week until Sean kicked him out. He literally kicked him out of the NWO here. So,
Did you catch earlier in the night when Vic said, you were in War Games, right? Hey, don't talk about that either. He was throwing a couple shots at Book all night, and Book was I love these two together, man. They're the greatest.
So I know we threw in our theories about, you know, somebody from the Bloodline possibly either coming down or debuting, helping out Ava with this Eddie Thorpe problem. I think we're gonna get that. We're gonna get that eventually. But I think the short term solution that we're gonna get next Tuesday is X-Pac. Obviously, he's part of the clique. He's friends with Shawn Michaels. He's still, as far as I know, pretty active wrestling. He does a couple indie shows here or there. I think we're going to get X-Pac versus Eddie Thorpe at Deadline. I think X-Pac is going to step in on behalf of Shawn Michaels and have the match with Thorpe at Deadline. That's going to get your attraction match right there. X-Pac, his first match in WWE in God knows how long, against Eddie Thorpe here. It kind of helps Eddie Thorpe a little bit, you know, in there with a veteran, with a legend. And I think that's going to be the match. And I think Eddie Thorpe might come in on top of that, honestly. And he'll do something with the Bloodline later on. But I feel like, I think that might be the reason. Because why else would X-Pac be down there unless he really wants to see Eric Bischoff? But I feel like that's like the only person I could think of that's still like semi-active, that has a very close connection to Shawn Michaels and the clique. So, I think we're going to lead to X-Pac and Eddie Thorpe at Deadline.
Oh, he's bumping. He's definitely bumping. But I don't think they're going to – it doesn't have to lead to a match. He could just take the punch for Shawn, you know?
Yeah.
Right in the back.
I just selfishly want it just so I can talk about an X-Pac match next week with Brayden. That's the main reason. That's the main reason, honestly.
Hey, I hope you get it now. I hope, since you put it that way, I hope you get it.
Listen, Brayden got his Big Boom AJ and the Rizzler. I just want my X-Pac, okay? You know what? Do it even better. Come back as 1-2-3 Kid. Do 1-2-3 Kid versus Eddie Thorpe. And after the match, after 1-2-3 Kid wins the match or loses the match, he gets attacked by Tatanka. We're going straight 1994 WWF right now.
No, he'd have to cut his eyebrows for that. We can't have that, you know.
That's true. All right. We'll get it. We'll take X-Pac.
Yeah.
Let's finish off here with our main event for the Women's North American Championship. Fallon Henley defending against Tatum Paxley. Fallon starts the match working on Tatum's left arm here. Like, the entire show was like people working on body parts and like going for head scissors, like a very similar style throughout the matches, but I'm okay with it. It wasn't like I said, it wasn't too offensive. Tatum though backflips her way out of this arm bar submission here and brings in Fallon for a head scissor submission herself. Like I said, a lot of head scissors here tonight. Tatum kicks Fallon to the outside where she chases her around the ring, but JC and Jasmine are right there surrounding Tatum. And this distraction causes Fallon to hit kind of like a 619 off of the ring post right to Tatum as we head to commercial. Nice. We come back and we see a graphic that next week we're going to be getting Carmen Petrovic versus Nikita Lyons. They didn't say if Ashanti the Adonis's custody or whatever the case is on the line, but we're getting this match next week as expected. Tatum and Fallon, they take each other out with a double cross body. Tatum goes to the top rope as JC again gets on the apron and distracts her as Fallon takes advantage of this. Tatum comes right back with a 450 splash, but only gets a two count. She keeps going for pins here as JC again gets on the apron, but this time Tatum wants nothing of it and kicks her off. Tatum tries her finisher, the psycho trap here, but Fallon is able to hold onto the ropes to block it and comes back with a like running Famaster off of the ropes to get the pin at 10 minutes and 55 seconds to retain her championship. Before we talk about what happened after here, what did you think of this match between these two?
Really good match. I didn't expect. You know what? I think I've been like not really paying attention to Fallon, but she's really good. She's a really good champion too. She's got some really nice moves. The Famaster looks clean every time she's knocking it down. Tatum is really good too. I like that. That 619, like off the ring post, that was dope. It was really innovative. These girls had a really good match, though. I liked it.
Yeah, Tatum has really impressed me. She's one of the people, like, I, you know, as people know, I cover NXT Level Up, like the developmental for developmental on Shot on Dark every week. And I see people like Tatum Paxley every week just getting better and better. And I was there when she introduced her finisher, the Psycho Trap. I'm like, you know, I actually like that move. I like the way she's like progressing. And people forget she's at NIL. Like, some people forget like who's indie and who's NIL. Like, Fallon Henley is independent. She comes from the ID program, I guess you can say, while a Tatum Paxley is NIL. Sometimes they wrestle and you can't really tell like who's who. Same thing with Kalani Jordan. It's like, wait, is she NIL or is she independent? Because some of them do a really good job of transitioning really well into wrestling, and Tatum's just another case of that. Somebody who really was able to pick up wrestling right away and kind of like seem like she's one of the members of the roster here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tatum is, you know, like I said, I think both of these girls, I kind of like got overshadowed by everybody else that was going on, like Roxanne and everything. So like, I kind of never really paid attention to what they had going on, but this match right here, like, kind of let me know like, oh no, they've been working. They've been working a lot, and I really like this match, too. Even with the outside interference and everything, they're really good. They're really good. This whole group, the Fatal Group, is really good.
So earlier in the night, we had a little mystery of this mysterious hand that picked up the doll. Are we going to have to wait a week to find out who it is? No, we're going to find out right now, because after the match, Fatal Influence, they all gang up on Tatum. It's a 3-on-1 here before we hear the music of a returning Gigi Dolin, who shows up in the ring, takes out all three members as Tatum joins in. And then we just kind of see the tag team there of Tatum and Gigi. And I'm like, these two look like sisters. These two look like they should be a tag team. Like, this is perfect. So I'm like, why didn't anybody think of this earlier? Like, it looks like we have at least a little alliance here between Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolin to kind of fight off the Fatal Influence. Are they going to get a third member, or they're just going to kind of stick together? What do you think?
Well, Gigi has a little bit of a different look from the last time we saw her, last time she was in the ring. So it kind of like fits Tatum a little bit better. Like, they look like they were already a tag team. I like Gigi came in with some fire. She came with some real snug shots, you know, like that headbutt she gave was real tight, and she had like the crazy hair that you couldn't really tell. I'm like, did she just like really lay in that headbutt? But yeah, she looked good, man. Like I didn't know it was Gigi. You knew from the tattoo
on her wrist. Yeah,
I had no idea, but yeah, it was a good surprise. So I don't know where we're going with this, if it's going to be a trio or just a tag, but yeah, I'm digging this.
Yeah, sometimes I like when they tease like a return or a debut for like weeks upon weeks and whatnot. And sometimes I like just somebody who like forgot that was either on the shelf, injured, or just out of commission or whatever. So Gigi's one of them. It's like, oh yeah, Gigi's here. Like, I know she did something with Halloween Havoc. She did like the intro and whatnot, but there was no like rumblings as far as I know of her coming back to in ring action. So it looks like this is it. So I'm not sure if they're gonna do anything for Deadline or whatnot. I probably would hold off a little bit, but yeah, I'm a fan of this tag team between Tatum and Gigi. But before we go to the feedback, yeah, what'd you think of this show overall? I feel like it was a pretty good show. Like I said, really wrestling heavy, did a good job of setting up a lot of matches for Deadline. We had a lot of mysteries here, a lot of mysteries solved, a lot of mysteries to be solved with Chase U and whatnot. What's going to happen with Bischoff and X-Pac? Who's going to kick Eddie Thorpe's ass. There's a lot of questions here. Who is Ashanti the Adonis going to choose? Is it going to be Carmen? Is it going to be Nikita? Is it going to be both? Who knows? It's 2024. But it's like a lot was happening here on this show, but I feel like it was a really pretty good show. I feel like we got chosen for a really good episode this week.
We got lucky and got a lot of wrestling too. Yeah. You know, like usually I think the last Up Next I review was a lot of like, you know, a lot of story, a lot of storyline movement, but this is a lot of wrestling. That really good wrestling too. Like the championship matches were pretty good. Besides that Tony D'Angelo match, which was okay. The Fallon, the Henley match and Tatum Paxley, the main event was great. And Kehlani and Julia.
Yep.
I can't complain about the Julia match, man. You know what's crazy? I didn't know much about Julia at first. I just knew her from like clips and stuff like that. But I'm really digging her, man. Her offense is really, really fun to watch. And I think she just hasn't had that partner who she can really show everybody who she really is yet. I think she should hold out to a PLE for that anyway. So
yep.
Yeah, pretty good show though.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
So we're not going to do predictions for a deadline, but I figure why not do something different? We'll do predictions for next week's episode of NXT. We're not going to be here, obviously, but there's some matches there that has some repercussions. So let's start with Nikita Lyons and Carmen Petrovic. Who do you think is going to get that first win of that match, and who's going to win the love of Ashanti? How do you think that story is going to reveal itself?
I think Ashanti like sides with Nikita. I think he just drops her. I think she goes for some help or something. No. You know what? You know, Nikita's got him. Nikita kind of got him wrapped around her finger a little bit. She's already confessing everything, but I can't really put a finger on that because Ashanti's texting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
so, that's true.
He's for the streets, man. Come on.
Yeah. Muggin here recommended a Suri versus Julia match for you to check out if you want a little bit more of Julia. And I do need to check out Bloodsport. So one thing I did not check out this weekend, but I know Carmen Petrovic had a match on there as well as some other NXT, AEW, and TNA talent. Bloodsport's always a must-watch for me, but this weekend was too hectic. But I will get to it. I definitely want to see Carmen Petrovic and Bloodsport and some other NXT names in the future. But we go to our Fatal 4 last chance matches here. We start with Cedric Alexander, Axiom, Eddie Thorpe, and Lexus King. Who's going to have that final spot for Deadline?
Alexis King should get that one. He deserves that. Yeah, he's got more going on right now. Eddie Thorpe needs to lose this so he can have more things to be mad at Ava about.
Yeah.
So yeah, Alexis King.
I agree with Eddie Thorpe losing. I was going to say Axiom originally. That way you can have Frazier and Axiom kind of go head-to-head. But I think it might be a better story if you have Axiom actually lose and like somebody like Alexis King wins.
Yeah.
And then Axiom enters that tag team title shot later on. A little bit like all messed up because he lost his match while Nathan Frazier didn't and whatnot. And that could be like one of the reasons for them losing the titles, basically the tag titles. I feel like either one or both of them are going to be in the tag team match. I'm sorry, in the Iron Survivor match. And that's going to cause them to lose the tag match later on Deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
For the woman's last chance, we have Cora Jade, Ren Sinclair, Jada Parker, and Kalani Jordan. I'm going to eliminate Jada Parker because I feel like she's kind of tied up with Lola Vice right now, so I can't see her winning. And Kalani Jordan, I think, had the best showing out of all four in their qualifying matches, so I think she's going to sneak her way in and kind of be there with the big girls in this Iron Survivor match. What do you think?
Yeah, she needs to be there. I think this match needs her athleticism. I think she needs to be jumping off of stuff and over that penalty box. So, yeah, I think Carmen, she's got that one.
And the tag team battle royal. So far, the teams announced are Tyreek Igwe, Tyson DuPont, Hank and Tank, Gallus, the D'Angelo family, OTM, and the No Quarter Crash crew. There might be some more tag teams, maybe some surprise tag teams. Who knows? But out of the ones I named, or maybe out of the box or out of the mud, who do you expect to win that tag match?
I feel like they want to push OTM right now. I feel like that's who they want to go with, you know, or Hank and Tank. But I think Hank and Tank are better. Better challenging than anything, so they can get the winner of the tag team match after they win the belt. So yeah, I think OTM is going to take this one. I think so.
I'm gonna go with the D'Angelo family. I feel like it's time to put some gold on some other members of the family.
Oh, the whole family.
I think Stax and Luca might pull it out. Who knows? I'm trying to think if there's like any like surprise tag teams that can maybe come down from a. We're probably gonna see like the Good Brothers, right? We're gonna see a Gallows and Anderson out of nowhere, probably. Who knows? They're gonna get some tag team that.
Somebody's hurt, right? One of those guys.
Yeah,
injured,
you right? might be right. I think Carl Anderson might be injured. So yeah, but who knows? We might maybe see some tag teams get brought down. But yeah, out of the ones chosen, I'm gonna go with the D'Angelo family. Muggin recommends the Rascals. So yeah, maybe we'll see some TNA talent. It's been a while since we saw some TNA talent. So
that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah. All right, let's move on to some feedback that we have on the Facebook Poison Rana group. If you're not a member, go in and join today. It is free, and you could leave feedback just like Muggin did here, who says, a pretty wrestling-heavy episode. Having Nate and Axiom potentially work double duty in Minneapolis makes sense because tag titles have taken a step back in recent weeks. Burning the candle on both ends might take its toll. Axiom versus Ethan was dope. Julia Kalani ruled. No mystery over the outcome, but Kalani Jordan looked great in defeat against one of the world's best. Fallon versus Tatum was a decent main event, complete with the Fatal Influence overbooking, and the return of Gigi Dolan was well done. The Chase U segment hurt me, but there's going to be a new class. Ah, see? We said the new class. Catching lightning in a bottle again is going to be impossible. The two last chance four-ways, especially the women's one, telegraph who won't make it to deadline, as Lola and Jada are going to go underground to settle their issues. Solid outing. Lola Vice would be a great fit for Bloodsport. Yeah, I agree. I think Lola in Bloodsport would be amazing.
Absolutely. Definitely. She's probably up next for it, too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Muggin, for that feedback. We move on to Manny from Pacoima, who says, what up, though? Shout out Sino and B Detroit. Gigi is back. The world is healing. Unfortunately, my focus for the show wasn't as heavy as usual due to the drama with AEW and GCW. I'm kind of bummed Ricky got pulled from his bookings because I was really looking forward to seeing him in LA. See, this is what I was talking about. The fans are suffering from this, unfortunately. If New Year's Evil is a TV special again, who do you see coming out as the challengers for both champions? Do we see Jada and Lola in the Underground at the next live show outside the PC? Okay, so yeah, we talked about who can enter the Fatal 4-Way, but who's going to win the Fatal 4-Way? That's a good question. So I'm looking at the men. So we have Ethan Page, Wesley, Nathan Frazier, Javon Evans, and the winner of the 4-Way, who we thought was going to be Lexus King. So out of those five, we'll see Page, Lee. You know what? I feel like we might go back to Wesley and Trick Williams. I think that might be I think because if it's going to be on New Year's Evil special, I feel like that would be a good match to headline a TV special.
Yeah, I'm going to go with too early to put Paige back in there.
Yeah, like I feel like we just got Paige, right? I feel like we had the Javon Evans match, right? That match went down, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, but I think it's too early for Javon Evans to be, you know, I think he needs another go with like the North American or something too.
Okay, so you know what? If Lexus King wins, I can see him potentially winning, and then this whole like good guy attitude, we might see it revealed as a false, and then he maybe wins the match. You know, I feel like Trick Williams, like, I love him, but I feel like he's due to get called up anytime soon. The next month or two, right? Yeah. So I think he's going to lose the title. So, okay, why not put the title on somebody like Lexus King? People might not like it, but if it fits his character evolution and him fooling us all to begin with, who knows? Maybe that's a good opportunity to do that.
I can see that because Trick is definitely going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can see that happening. Trick and Melo face off at the Royal Rumble. I said it first.
For the woman, it's going to be tough because we got some heavy hitters here. We got Stephanie Vaquerre, Julia, Zaria, Sol Ruka, and like we said, potentially Kalani Jordan as the fifth person here. That might be tougher to call, honestly. Trying to think. I am going to go. I'm
going to go with Julia.
Julia?
Why not?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Zaria because they kind of set something up with her and Jordan Grace, which I feel like that match might be happening at New Year's Evil.
Zaria's still really, really new, too. Like, yeah. I don't think enough people even really even know about Zaria. She hasn't even been on, like, the last 2 weeks of TV.
True.
So, yeah, she still needs to heat up a little bit more.
I feel like whoever wins this match is going to win the title because Cora Jade is somebody else who I don't see staying for too long at NXT. So, I'm going to go with Julia as well. With Stephanie Vaquerre is a close second, but I feel like Julia is going to be the one to take the title ultimately off of
Cora Jade. Also, wasn't she in the Royal Rumble last year too?
Yeah.
She'll be in this year too.
Yeah, she'll definitely be in it for sure. Back to the feedback here. He says, do we see Jada and Lola in the Underground at the next live show outside the PC? I think we're going to get it at New Year's Evil. I feel like that we're going to set that up rather sooner than
later. You got to have that in the studio.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be shot good if it was like a PLE type vibe, you know.
Also, the hell was Andre packing up his things for? He didn't lose the university. He just had to stop hanging out with Theo, Riley, and Duke. This man is really about to abandon the rest of the university. You know, that's a good point there, Manny. Yeah, he didn't lose the university. He just lost his friendships. Yeah.
So he lost the university. The university was online.
I guess. I thought the stipulation was he just can't talk to Theo, Riley, and Duke. Like, he still has a university. He just has to get a whole new class.
Okay, I guess.
No.
Well, he has to start teaching another class now.
Speaking of Lola, I'd love to see her and Sonya Deville be the next talent to come over to Bloodsport. Maybe even a Nakamura versus Barnett match. Dempsey fits Bloodsport like a glove, and Carmen did great in her debut. Yeah, those are some good names that I could definitely see in Bloodsport. Nakamura against Josh Barnett. Oh, man. So I didn't watch Josh Barnett and MVP, but from what I heard about it and like them kind of setting up Barnett having an open challenge at the Hammerstein, I was fully expecting it to be Barnett versus Lashley, because obviously Lashley has the MMA background and kind of like picks up off of the match with MVP, obviously. But now everything going on with GCW, that might be off the table. I don't know. But yeah, Nakamura, I think that would be a good replacement. I feel like WWE is going to start sending their guys to the Hammerstein show now since AEW pulled their guys out. So Nakamura is a good name I could definitely see there. Yeah, give me Nakamura versus Barnett. I'll be there.
If I was WWE, I would. I would do it immediately. I would be calling guys up like, hey, you want to go work in LA? Come on.
Thank you, Manny, who has a translation here from Stephanie, who says, those wondering what Vicar told Lola, she said that she would still have her beat. She still would have beat Jada regardless of Lola's interference. Hope we see Lola versus Stephanie soon. Take care and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you, Manny. Hopefully everybody has a good Thanksgiving as well. And we end off here with Cameron, who says, thanks for the review, guys. You guys are great. Thank you, Cameron. Solid episode that highlighted the women's division. If Axiom wins that four-way, that Iron Survivor will be ridiculously good. Sorry if you've already spoken about it, but what do you see next for Andre Chase? Does the split mean he can't tag with Duke anymore? Them returning in the Battle Royal next week under a new name and going on to beat Axiom and Frazier would kick ass. Ooh, I like that idea. So Andre and whoever this person that reached out to him, or maybe like a Duke, come back as a new name, a new tag team, a new university per se, enter the Battle Royal and win it and go on to face for the tag titles. I kind of like that idea.
What do we call another college, though? If it's not a university, it's Chase Tech. Is it
Chase Tech? Chase Institution? Chase?
What do we got here?
Okay, how about Andre Chase's School for the Gifted? Everybody just starts having powers all of a sudden.
Great.
There we go. HBK needs to book himself against Eddie Thorpe. Dream match. These Iron Survivors, along with the Underground match and a decent stipulation on the title match, could make this PLE one of the best of the year. I agree. I feel like Trick and Rich can definitely benefit off of a stipulation. Nothing too heavy, because obviously you have the Iron Survivors going on. But yeah, maybe Street Fight. Just give us something a little bit more pizzazz, I guess, to kind of build a little bit more excitement to it. I think could definitely help. I might be on my own, but I've actually been fairly impressed with Ridge's new edge. Take care, guys. Thank you, Cameron, and thank you, everybody, for the feedback tonight.
So what would you think about we just had a special guest referee for, because you know that this could tie into it.
You think Eric Bischoff might appoint X-Pac as a guest referee?
One of the click guys for Sean, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we just got like those.
We just had one. That's too recent, I guess. You know, I'm just trying to think of a stip for that match to make it a little bit more interesting, I guess, you know?
I mean, Eric Bischoff has a slew of stipulations he could pull from his WCW handbook. A lot of things on a pole. He could definitely do a lot if he wanted to.
We don't need a – no, not one of those.
Nothing on a pole?
No, because what would we put on a poll? Rich Holland.
maybe the rights to chase you. Like the, I don't know, like the lease to chase you.
Chase you on a poll, man?
Chase you on a poll, yeah. Honestly, speaking of a special guest for referees, maybe, you know, Andre Chase is the referee. I don't know. That might be a little bit too biased towards a
trick. Yeah, stacking the deck.
But yeah, I feel like we're definitely going to get some sort of stipulation or some sort of addition to that match for sure. But next week seems to be a loaded show. Davey and Braden, I'm pretty sure. Actually, no, I think maybe somebody might be filling in for Davey. But yeah, Braden will definitely be back next week to talk about Eric Bischoff and X-Pac. He probably has no idea. He's going to go into it blind and just turn on NXT and be like, what the hell is Eric Bischoff and X-Pac doing on my screen tonight? But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Deadline. I think it's shaping up to be a pretty good show. A lot of great talent in all these matches. And I'm looking forward to talking to you later on today. We're going to be recording an episode of What Up, Though. I will have a Facebook post on the Poison Rana group where you can leave any discussion. We'll tell you right now, it's going to be a very, very, very Kendrick Lamar heavy episode. Not as heavy as the show we did with Braden and Way, but we're definitely going to break down and dissect the new GNX album that Kendrick dropped over the weekend, as well as Drake. Drake coming through with the defamation lawsuits.
Hip-hop heavy episode, finally, guys. It's, you know, because me and Cena were just talking before we were setting up to do the show, and we was like, hey, we don't have much to talk about. The news has been kind of slow, and then, boom, Kendrick hits us every time.
I'm so happy that we didn't record last week, because we were like I said, I was like, what are we going to talk about? I haven't really had a chance to watch too many movies and shows this month. It might be a little bit slow episode. And then Kendrick was like, I got you, fam.
I got you, guys.
Here's 12 tracks for you to talk about.
Here's 12 tracks and a video to go with. Yes. You know, so yeah, just amazing timing by Kendrick Lamar. Thank you for blessing us with a topic.
and we'll stay on top of any lawsuits that Drake. He's already dropped, what, two lawsuits?
So two lawsuits back to back. Yeah,
we'll see. Hey, remember when Jay-Z sued Nas over Ether? Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Just either. Saying,
lawsuits and rap beef. Come
or
on.
Or like that time, Puffy. I mean, Diddy. Not Diddy, but Biggie sued Pac for. No, that didn't happen, right?
No, that didn't happen.
Ice Cube sued NWA, right?
No. But Diddy is involved in a couple lawsuits, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, the wrong lawsuits.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us live here at Post Wrestling. YouTube.com/Post Wrestling. Thank you for Davey and Braden for giving us the platform here to talk about some NXT. And like I said, if you like anything that you hear today from us, from me and B, stay tuned for a new episode of What Up, Though. I'll have a new episode of Shot in the Dark as well tomorrow. And everything else on the Post Wrestling feed. I know they just put up the Poison Rana feed, as they just put up a new episode of The Champ is Here, episode 4, talking about John Cena's run. I can't wait to jump on and talk about it. I've been enjoying this show here. Their guests have been amazing. Talking the legacy of John Cena is bringing me back down memory lane. I forgot that I lived through all this. Like, John Cena is right. One of the people I can say I literally was there from the first match up until possibly the final match. What a run the champ has had.
They just covered the WrestleMania 23 match, and I was there. So that was a special episode for me because I was a senior in high school during that match, and that was just my first WrestleMania I attended. So that was a crazy thing to like kind of relive. I kind of wanted to go back and watch because I haven't watched that show yet since it happened. So I kind of want to go back and watch it. I never heard the commentary or anything. So I kind of want to do that now. Thank you for that show because it's getting everybody the feeling back for John Cena.
Absolutely. Last plug before we go, chop-tees.com. Get some gear like this Poison Rana hat, the Poison Rana shirt, the What Up Doe shirt that B's wearing. This fresh jacket that I have here in the background is kind of teasing you. I love this jacket. I was rocking it all weekend. Definitely get yours if your size is available. Chop-tees.com. Please support us going into this holiday season. What better gift can you have than a nice Poison Rana jacket or a What Up Doe hoodie or a WrestleNomics or Post Wrestling? There's so many good brands and good designs on that site. So please support us and please support your favorite podcasters by wearing the gear. That's it. That's all. Have a good night. And mustard!
1st time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BBE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.